Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Coming up, we'll drink a toast to the weekend with a shout of the day. Then it's Bad Choice Friday time.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
Hey, man, this is your fault.
Jam on. Today, a little salute to the Men's Room World Tour. Stop number 3 that happens this Sunday at Olaf's in Ballard from 2 until 4. Little Sunday fun day afternoon drinking. So we picked a couple of drinking songs, including Chumbawamba.
I get no.
He enjoys the whiskey drink. I might have a whiskey drink at Olaf's. Get myself a Men's Room IPA.
It's a vodka drink? A cider drink?
Yeah, he does all kinds of drinks. That's why he gets knocked out, but he gets up again.
Yes, he
does. Kind of like the puke and rally of England.
Like, you know, the other name for that song is Blackout.
Chumbawamba and Tub Thumping taking on Snoop Dogg on a Bad Choice Friday.
Laid back.
With my mind on my money.
I might try some of this Indo they talk about.
Chumbawamba, Tub Thumping, and Snoop Dogg Gin and Juice. Those are your choices on a Bad Choice Friday. A vote now if you follow us on Twitter at Men's Room Live. One of those two tunes coming up right after we drink and toast with a shot of the day. Okay, our question, big or small, what is something that you've done that you're proud of? 206-803-ROCK.
And some quick hits from the text line here. It says, I just got my ham radio license about 4 minutes ago. Actually, the... Let me rephrase that. 26 minutes ago, counting for real time here. I'm incredibly proud of that. I don't know you need a license for that.
You do. Same with Canadian bacon.
Wait, did you say ham radio or ham?
Ham. Ham.
Yeah.
Ham radio.
What's a ham radio?
H-A-M, ham. I said Canadian bacon's even more impressive.
You've never heard of ham radio? I mean, it's just not different.
You can talk to people around the world.
Right. So, like,
but you have to have a license to operate with your tower, with all the equipment that you use,
the frequency
you use.
No idea.
You have to be licensed because you're using federal airwaves.
It's interesting because I think for the most part, the people, when I was growing up, one of my buddy's fathers was on the ham radio. And like you said, he's talking to people in other countries, but for the most part, the conversation always about ham radio.
Yeah.
Like, I have my ham radio, and now I'm talking to Ted in Argentina. And he's, oh, it is good to meet you. For the next hour, we're going to talk about the fact that we're both on a ham radio.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard a different conversation other than the fact that I love ham radio.
I mean, you could use, like, WhatsApp. That's how I talk to my friends in other countries.
There's your ham radio right there. WhatsApp.
That's like, yeah, that's cool, man. How about this app?
Straight from the brain of Mark Zuckerberg.
Let's see.
I'm just saying, like, right, like our buddy Aaron in Melbourne, Australia. Like, last week I was watching the F1 race. It's at midnight, so I was like, oh, I'll just start texting him. He's up.
That's what happens when I try to get a hold of my daughter Ava in Africa.
Oh, yeah.
I always get a text message back. It says, Dad, it's 3 a.m. Please. I'm like, ha-ha!
Now you get it.
Yeah! Finally! Retribution!
Now, here's one I can... Well, I can't relate to it, but it says, I got drunk, I can relate to, and learned to solve a Rubik's Cube. In all of the years that the Rubik's Cube has existed... I've only once, and it's not a lie,
I never
and
have.
I'm not proud, got one side. Here's the caveat.
Oh, one side?
No,
you used
no.
to be able to get a lot.
The caveat was, I was working on a different color. Mm. And someone pointed at the side I'm not looking at. Like, dude, you got all blues. Stop.
Yeah.
I was like, I was trying to get orange.
Right.
That's how bad it is.
I got a delivery. A VD just walked in the studio.
Oh, good morning.
Delivery of VD.
The reason why it's called ham radio.
Yes.
The word ham, as applied to the 1908, was the call of the first amateur wireless station operated by some amateurs of the Harvard Radio Club. They were Albert S. Hyman, Bob Almy, and Poogie Murray. H-A-M. Hyman, Almy, Murray, ham radio.
That sounds like a sex move.
So they busted into the industry.
They just busted in on these side channels.
Okay.
Busted in. Yep. Just like a hymen.
Right.
Yep, sure did, Miles.
You ever do any ham radio?
There's a ham radio history minute for
I did do ham radio for a time as a kid.
What do you do on ham radio? Because like I said, the only thing I ever heard was a guy talking about ham radio to some other guy
share
around
recipes.
The world.
Honey glaze.
There are listening
cloves.
Stations around the world that still use on a daily basis for you. You can talk to anybody. It's just your way of communicating, and it's communicating on low power frequency that basically is about the same frequency scope of what the AM is. It operates outside the AM band.
Okay.
So you need power, you need height, you need antenna.
If you live under a bridge, you can't talk to someone.
It would be difficult.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Right.
It would be difficult. Fun fact.
Mm-hmm. Big or small, what is something that you've done that you're proud of? 206-803-ROCK.
I live under a bridge. It's all right. I got my ham radio.
It's an AM joke.
Hello, Laura. Welcome to the men's room.
Laura.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hola. What are you proud of, Laura? Figuring out how to use your hands-free device?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
we got you. You did it.
Okay. Mount Vernon?
What was that? Mount Vernon?
Yeah, I live way up there.
Okay.
All right.
Are you proud that you live there?
No, that's not what I'm proud of. What I'm proud of is I donated a kidney to one of my bestest friends.
Ah, okay.
There we go.
That's a big deal.
Laura.
Thanks for the Mount Vernon knowledge, though.
Yeah, right.
Why did you bring up Mount Vernon? Just to point out that you're not proud of being
there. Mount Vernon, we give kidneys.
Oh, no,
it's right down
the
side.
I'm proud of donating a kidney.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
It'll be 3 years in October.
Now, do you give a piece of the kidney? Do you give the whole kidney?
I think it's the whole thing, right?
Well, unfortunately, you can't grow them back, so I can only do it once. You got all right. My left son, and I still have my right.
And now, let me ask you this. When it comes to the left or right kidney, is that the doctor telling you, or did you actually have a preference about which kidney they took?
The doctor. They look at both of them, and they decide which one's easier to get out for you and which one's easier to put in her.
Okay. What are some of the side effects? Obviously, you probably can't drink that much, right?
No, it doesn't.
Oh,
that's
well.
A myth.
Okay, all right.
Now, is that a myth, or are you just ignoring the doctor's advice?
I'm saying it's a myth.
It's a myth.
Okay.
It's a myth.
All right.
The reality is that if you're really healthy, and I'm very healthy, I've always been healthy, I've been blessed with good health, is that I didn't notice any side effects. I'm just as healthy as I was before.
Well, that's cool.
All right.
And cool. Is your friend okay?
Scar. Yeah.
Your friend's doing good?
Oh, she's doing fantastic. She didn't ask me. I saw her post a picture of her dialysis machine on Facebook, and I'm like, I know what that is because I know somebody that's been on dialysis. So I told her to contact me, and I asked her what her blood type was, and I found out we had the same blood type. So I said, I want to donate a kidney to you. She's like, what? And I go, well, we've known each other since high school. Yeah.
That's awesome. So did she take you to, I don't know, Mexico or something nice?
Yeah, what's the reward for giving someone a kidney?
You give me a kidney. We're going to Cabo.
They give you some really good drugs.
Oh, okay. Well,
I mean, is she taking it just to like Red Lobster, maybe? You know, to change for the kidney.
We had fun. I mean, we were stuck in the hospital for 5 days,
I still think you could guild her into, a free appetizer somewhere.
I mean,
I would.
You can grab a check, right?
If I gave somebody my kidney, I'm not letting that go.
Do the George Lopez, man. Remember George Lopez's move?
Yeah. His wife gave him a kidney, and then he got caught cheating on her with a hooker.
And then he divorced her. Mm-hmm. Well, that woman gave you a kidney, and that, I mean, all we're saying is Red Lobster. You gave her a divorce.
That's crap.
What do you want in return? I give you a kidney. What are you demanding in return?
The biggest kidney story in the world.
You know what? I could answer that question very quickly.
All right, Ted, I'm giving you my kidney. What do you want?
I'm not, no longer, if you invite me over, I won't say, what can I bring? I just show up.
I'm not bringing anything.
I will never bring anything. If I have given you a kidney and you invite me over to watch a sporting event, I'm not bringing a drop of beer, no chips, not helping with the grill, no men's room IPA brats. Nothing. Not even going to ask.
That's a solid move.
I'm going to show up. Be like, what'd you bring? I'm like, he's alive.
The one that blows my mind is still Barry White. It must have been his blood type. How does Barry White not get a kidney?
Come on, baby. Barry White needs a kidney.
I need you.
Didn't you say it's the biggest kidney story?
Well,
I'm trying to think of other kidney stories.
What I'm saying is, He's an icon. The man died. He's legendary. Yeah. He could not get a kidney for years. So what was so unique about his situation?
Hold on, I'm gonna Google
where Barry
his blood
could
type.
Not get a kidney. You know what I mean? I'm sorry.
Hold on. But Barry White, let's see. You know what I want, baby. Turn around.
Right, then you have the other idiot.
Don't stab you in the back.
Who's don't the guy from Dallas that, like, got a kidney? Like, had to get
Oh, Larry Hagman.
Didn't he have to get a kidney or a liver because he drank through it?
Liver?
And then drank through it again?
The second.
Drank through someone else's.
Yeah.
Big or small, what is something that you've done that you're proud of? 206-803-ROCK.
No one knows his blood type.
Well,
Can we start telling people their blood type?
It's just a small detail, but it might come in handy on the fly. Because you're right, man. They've done blood work with you. Like, oh, what's my blood type? No idea, Mr. Smith.
Yeah.
But I was shocked when she said that to me.
George Lopez's wife is still alive. She's not with him anymore, but she did donate a kidney. So that was awful. What he did was crappy, obviously.
Yeah.
But he's alive. Barry White's dead.
What she should have done is, I don't want half of everything. I want half of the kidneys you have. Because it started with me, George. I'm just saying.
Yeah, he better have given half. Big or small, what is something that you've done that you're proud of? 206-803-ROCK.
Yeah, that's one of those ones where, like, spousal support.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you have to pay that, George.
Yeah, if I'm a judge, just like, look, man, I there's no he said, she said here. I don't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. She gave you her kidney. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're on the hook.
Yeah, she gets the dog, too, dude.
And the dog. To the late, the dog doesn't matter. Hello, Bob. Welcome to the men's room.
Pleasure.
Hola, bichola.
Hola.
Hola.
Okay. November 13th, 1985, I graduated basic training at Fort Benning, Georgia.
All right.
I served in the National Guard for 11 years, and I'm proud to be an infantryman.
Oh, nice, man. Yeah.
What are you, Big Red One?
No, I was first in the 249th. I was in a tow battalion, anti-tank missile.
All right. Okay. Did you get a chance to go anywhere cool?
I've been to a couple of cool places, but I never deployed or went overseas or anything like that. Came pretty close.
Okay.
During the Gulf War in 90. I got out in 96 before everything blew up.
Yep.
Yeah, typically there's not a lot of military going to cool place stories, you know?
Yeah, I rarely hear them go, and it was the coolest place I've ever been.
150 degrees.
Right, in the middle of nowhere.
Big or small, what is something that you've done that you're proud of? 206-803-ROCK.
I mean, my dad would talk about the Vietnam was beautiful.
Oh,
like
sure.
The beaches and
I believe
stuff.
That, yeah. Sure.
When you're not being shot at.
Yeah, when you're not in the jungle, like, fighting a war. But he was like, no, he's like, it's a beautiful country.
But we weren't distracted by our mortality. We did notice those beaches. I feel like Navy more than any other part of the armed service.
Well, definitely, of course. Yeah, I mean, you're stationed sometimes in San Diego or Florida or Jacksonville.
And granted, this is just a civilian's mind.
There is Mobile.
But it seems like, I don't know, it always seems odd when you see Normandy and stuff. You're just like, God, like, I don't know. Like, when you see everybody in the desert or in the jungles, you're like, well, it's already an awful situation. You're in war. Makes sense you're in an awful environment.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's trippy to be like, Jesus, this is beautiful.
Really,
and you're
nice.
Still fighting a war. Like, I don't know, just for my mind.
Guys, hey, let's dial it down.
It's Hawaii.
Yeah, right.
Listen to the waves crash when you stop firing your guns. Nature's a beautiful thing, fellas.
Yeah, exactly.
Big or small, what is something that you've done you're proud of? 206-803-ROCK.
And those are the last words we heard Ted say.
Yeah, right. What happened to Ted? He wanted to get a better look at the beach.
Stationed in Alaska.
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
I finished the 2013 LA Marathon on St. Patrick's Day.
Nice. How long did you train for that?
5 months.
5 months. And how far, before you started training specifically for the marathon, what was the top distance you'd run?
I don't know, a couple laps around the track.
Really? So, I mean, this was, you just full on committed to
doing it. What was the inspiration to do this?
I was training because I thought I was going to join the police department.
Oh, all right.
What's the requirement to join the police department? Like, a 7-8 minute mile?
Actually, they just want you to be able to run a mile and a half, and I forget.
Probably 13 minutes.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Are you willing to chase the suspect 26.1 miles? Mm-hmm. Run the marathon.
Do you have to run with your stick and your gun and everything? Like, you know.
Well, I've never made it to the police department, so I don't know.
All right.
All right,
did you go to the academy?
No, I got weeded out. I applied to several different police departments, and I think one of them told another one that I smoked too much weed, and I didn't get in.
Did you smoke too much? Did you smoke too much weed, or did you just smoke weed?
I did in college. I smoked a bunch of weed in college, and most police departments have a limit or not at all.
All right. Well, that's probably why they're having a hard time hiring people.
I mean, they've loosened up some of the rules, yeah, right? My buddy Will was almost in the FBI, flying colors with everything. And then you know, they were like, have you done any drugs in the last 3 years? He was like, I smoked a little bit of weed 2 years and 11 months ago. And they kicked him out, which was fine for his career. But I think they loosened up some of that stuff. Right. It wasn't like he was a habitual user.
Yeah.
And he'd already passed the drug test. He was just being honest.
I think, you know, they'll loosen it up because states... You know, they keep making it legal. And it's like, look, man, booze is legal, but they don't ask you about your booze consumption.
Well, here's the truth.
Or they might ask you about your booze consumption, but are you a drunk? As opposed to if you said, well, I took down a bottle of Thunderbird 2 years and 11 months ago, they would not care.
Maybe somebody did smoke weed three years ago. They said, no, I'm not. I haven't smoked weed. I would rather hire, you don't know if they're telling the truth or not, but I'd rather hire the person that was honest. That
so
I know
he passed
the test, what do you call it?
If he does lie detector?
Yeah.
If you don't need to tell me that, and you're telling me something that could jeopardize your opportunity here, but you're being honest with me, and it's not the biggest deal in the world to me, that's more of a bright spot than me thinking you might have lied, but I don't know.
Right, yeah. Right.
Big or small, what is something that you've done that you're proud of? 206-803-ROCK.
But I think with the FBI, my question would be like, you really don't know? No, we don't really monitor. I'm like, yeah, no, absolutely
that's
not.
Weird because I know where you live.
It's just, I mean, number one, he was very disappointed. It still just blows my mind. Like, he was that honest. But then he ends up going to work for a corporate Under Armour and now works for Bashotti's companies. Like, he's done well in life.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think your FBI, like, you probably wanted him with you.
They're probably going to loosen those rules.
He enjoys his job, I'm sure, much more.
Yeah, I would think so.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Aaron. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How's it going, fellas? A long-time listener, first-time caller.
Hey, thank you, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. So, through my youth, I have been playing the bagpipes. Pretty strange hobby.
What age did you start playing the bagpipes?
About 10, and I'm nearly 30.
Okay, now, quick question. Was this something that your family had done before you, or did you just come home and annoy everyone as you learned to play the bagpipes?
My grandfather played them. No one else in my family did, but he ended up teaching me a little bit, and then eventually he was like, I can't teach you anything else, and then found a local junior band that I joined, and things kind of took off from there.
All right. Did your father have to lock up his baseball bat and all the guns he had and anything that maybe he could maybe pick up and attack you with?
They were actually pretty dang supportive of it.
Okay.
I'm just saying, when kids first learn an instrument, it is an exercise in patience. You know, it gets to the point where they're good, but good God.
Now, I've seen some bagpipers before, which is an amazing thing to see, you know, just like in the right setting. Now, and I was actually impressed. I've got video of it where I'm just like, this is pretty cool. Can you pick up chicks with that thing?
Well, it depends on the setting, just like you said, you know.
Okay,
like,
okay.
Some people are really into that. Some people will just, like, turn away and just, like, nope, that's
the
weird.
The fact that
that's
you right. play weird, bagpipes right? yeah. has been a deal breaker. I mean, come on.
I mean, you got to be the man around St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you can make a ton of money on St. Patrick's Day. My current band that I'm with, we do a pub crawl around Ballard, and we made bank on St. Patty's.
I bet, yeah.
Yeah, I also feel like if that's one day that the bagpipes are going to get you laid.
That'll be the day.
Ted, you'd appreciate this.
That is the day for sure.
You know what's funny? I love bagpipes. Some people hate them. I think them.
Actually, accordion is probably something that annoys me more than bagpipes.
What is it that you're most proud of about your bagpiping lifestyle?
Well, as I said, when I was in my youth, I was going through all these things, and I eventually got invited to play with a grade one band up in Canada. And this grade one band, just to preface, grade five is like super beginner. Grade one is like top of the line, right? So
okay.
I got invited to play with these guys. And then I also, after I was invited to play with them, I spent like 5 years total with them. And I, every single year through that span, played with them at the World Pipe Band Championships in Glasgow, Scotland, which I would equate to the Super Bowl of bagpiping.
Is it also the Super Bowl of drinking in your profession?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay. After you get done, you know, you're working super hard all year. You're finally there. You spend a week there. You're constantly playing and like getting ready. And then on the day, you play for 7 minutes twice in, you know, two sets, 7 minutes or so. And once you're done with that, man, the drinking starts.
Okay, I'll just say, you got the bagpipes. You're good at it. You're in Scotland. Any women hit on you?
I was very much focused on the playing, you know.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I've had some relationships in the piping, but you know, Scotland, you're very much focused in on the thing that's happening. Right?
Okay.
So you don't really have that much
time. Yeah, I guess it would really stand out playing bagpipes.
Now, and I know we live in a major metropolitan area. Something happens, man, and you're playing the bagpipes and you trip and fall and you break a couple pieces of this thing. Where do you take it to get it repaired?
Well, it depends. If you have an old set of bagpipes, like a classic set, you know, made in the early 1900s or 1800s, that really sucks. You just made a huge mistake.
You're just screwed.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. But there are people who can perform fixes. But if you have like a more contemporary set, one that was made more recently, generally there are makers and you can get your pieces sent back to them. They'll fix things up for you or replace them and then send them back.
And so one more question. Commando during these performances?
I go with boxers. Some people go commando. I go with boxers.
Okay. I thought commando was kind of the unwritten rule, man.
We
call that the double bag.
Sure, you look over, someone's hanging brain or something, you know, across on the other side.
The older guys definitely tend to go commando. I've seen, but the younger guys tend to have boxers and or even like basketball shorts.
So that is in fact the instrument where you're technically more likely to see more penis than any other instrument. Then
the kilt is you know. On especially windy days, that could happen.
Okay,
sure. I've seen it happen too, and it's like, look away.
I can't think of any other instrument where you know that much penis.
Where the idea of it is the possibility of it happening.
I mean, that's probably just one of those things too, where like dudes like, it's the traditional way. It's like, well, they didn't have underwear back in the day.
I know that, but I'm saying like day one of your, you know, you're going to learn. You go to your instructor, you know, your bagpipe instructor, and he says, you know, the first thing you need to know is you're going to see a lot of penis on.
You know what I would do, honestly, man? I would make it weird.
That? Can you handle that?
I'd have like a taxidermied raccoon where the underwear should be. So if it does blow up, just to see, I just want to see people's reactions like, man, I'm pretty sure there's a raccoon.
Just warning you.
Right.
Big or small, when it's something that you've done that you're proud of. 206-803-ROCK.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's my duty to inform you that the secret word will come up at 420 for your chance to win Aerosmith tickets.
Your other duty is to remember
to give you the secret word so that you can win those Aerosmith tickets. When you do hear it, whenever I give it, please text that word to 206-803-ROCK. The secret word is coming up.
Whenever it happens.
Around 420. In the meantime, our question, big or small, what is something that you've done that you're proud of? 206-803-ROCK.
All right, a couple of quick texts here. It says, I made the choice of health and had weight loss surgery on November 1st, 2022. I have not used insulin, cholesterol, or blood pressure medication since. I went from 367 to 180 pounds. So basically half of her body weight. I also went from a 50D to a, take a guess.
I'd say at that weight, a 32 to 33 inch waist.
We're talking.
And they're boobs.
Boobs.
I'll say a C.
I,
B? I would, 34B.
I know nothing about the world of shrinking boobs.
So 50D, she lost half her body weight. She's now a 38 triple D.
Ooh.
Oh.
The next sentence says, I look great. But really, the health and ability to be active has been the biggest plus. As hell, I can roller skate again. Nice. I got news for you. I never really could.
Just can't see the skates.
I'm with you. I have no idea about bra sizes.
I don't. So the.
You got big ones? You got small ones?
So if I get this right, the cup is the boob size.
Correct.
And then the number is.
Is the.
The measurement around.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, then I know what I need to know.
So like 36. If you have if you're a 34 double D and a 36 double D, you have the same size breast.
Boob.
It's just the fact that your body around the top is 2 inches shorter than the other.
Shows what I know. Let's see, two more. One that says, hey, can you tell Thrill that a marathon is 26.2, not 26.1 miles? You're correct, but to be fair, I'm just not impressed by that last half or tenth of a mile. I can do that.
Yeah.
And then this one's for you, Miles. It says, Miles, what the hell, man? I drive one of those private buses. I don't know why you speak so negatively of us if we have to turn down a private road. It's usually because we have to, and we're more than qualified to. It says Josie. I believe they say Jesus. Jesus, you know, I drive 70 Amazon employees home to West Seattle, and guess what? We listen to the men's room. Yeah. We have a blast, and I make sure everyone gets home safe, regardless of how West Virginia they are.
You pissed me off. Not you particularly, but one of you guys took this branch that was like 3 inches around off the tree that was going over the road, right?
Right.
Because buses don't go through there, so the branches come down, and the cities ain't going to go down and trim a tree.
The city's not going to trim a tree.
That's my responsibility, but I can't trim that one because it's more than 2 inches, right?
So what's the rule on it? So you're responsible for trimming.
If it's more than 2 inches on the branch, you can't cut it down.
But you're right?
Okay. But this is about 3 or 4 inches, so I couldn't cut it, but it was overhanging. So the bus comes and takes the whole damn thing off, right? But they won't just take the wood. I can't just stick it out in the trash. Nobody comes and takes
what do you do with the branch.
Now I got to go out there with a handsaw and cut the thing up into firewood for about an hour and a half. So that's what I do.
Wait
a
minute. So you can't trim the tree because the branch at this point is
inch
past thickness.
Yeah.
The bus takes
it
down.
But Johnny Transporter took it down. Poof, no problem. And now it's laying in the road. It's not going to go out there.
And they won't just take it.
No, the trash
won't take
it. How big
is it? Can you drag it?
It was 15 feet long.
Can you drag it?
I mean, I could drag it into the main area where I started cutting it with a handsaw.
But could you, like, drag it down to one of the bars, like, just toss it by the dumpsters?
That would have been my move.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, come on, man. You're right there. You're in the land of dumpsters, which sounds much worse than it actually is.
I'm trimming a damn tree branch at 7:30 in the morning.
So personal for you.
I know, because I don't want to do it.
Well, no, just the reason you hate these buses.
I'm going to cut the damn thing down before, because I trimmed some branches in that tree before with a dump truck to be able to take it to the dump. So I've already gone through the process. Some of the branches I couldn't take down, but the bus did. Big or small one is something that you've done that you're proud of. 206-803.
The guy's driving. He's got our show on. Cut him a little slack.
It's not him. He's in West Seattle.
It could have been him.
No, it ain't.
You don't know that. It could have been him. He might be thinking to himself right now, Jesus, I'm glad they put me in a West Seattle route because Miles doesn't realize it was me.
I lost my Fremont route
when I kept down a branch.
Yeah. I'll take a damn Metro, buddy.
Hello, Jesus. Nathan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So I work at a place called Hexcel, and 3 years back, I decided to join the auto clip department to make sure I didn't get laid off. And usually you start at tool prep, and over about a year, year and a half, you can become certified. Well, I did it in 6 months.
Damn.
Nice. So you're a certified technician?
No, I'm a certified autoclave operator.
Okay, now what does that specific job entail?
So we cure at high pressure parts for like Boeing airplanes and military air helicopters and aircraft.
Oh, damn. Okay. Right.
Big time stuff.
So to give you an idea of like what one of these is, like your Instapot at home, imagine it about 12 to 15 feet wide, about 40 to 50 feet long.
Okay, Jesus. So there's an element of danger involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have all kinds of safety features on them to prevent it from happening, but, of course, there is always that chance.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's it. Anything that has safety devices, you're like, I feel more and more dangerous. In fact, the more safety devices any one thing has, the less apt I am to want to interact with it. By the way, Miles, our bus driver got back to us, the one that hates you.
Oh, no, he's going to hate
me. As far as taking on the branch in Fremont, he says, it wasn't me. Mm-hmm. I don't hit stuff with my bus.
Yeah, thank God you don't. Big or small, what is something that you've done? And I'm proud of you for that. That you're proud of. 206-803-ROCK.
You know what? Screw it. I'm on the bus driver side now.
Yeah.
What do I care? You lost a branch. Right. You wanted it gone. I helped you.
Well, look, I get the idea.
Yeah, that's the thing. You wanted it trimmed. Yeah. All right?
I get the idea of having the buses. I understand it because a lot of people maybe don't feel comfortable riding public transportation. I understand why. But you don't have to drop them off at their front door. You could drop them off at the corner of the nearest major.
It's a perk of the job. I wish our job would pick us up.
I know.
You could drop you right off at your front door.
At the front door.
Front door, man. Like, no bus stop, nothing.
Or the bar.
Front door. Yeah, that's what I do, man.
Travis, my home address is Olaf.
Yeah.
I live here. Hello, Alexis. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola. So what are you proud of there, Alexis?
I am proud to have divorced my first baby daddy.
Wait, your first baby daddy.
My first baby daddy.
Why are you proud of this?
Oh, my gosh, because we went through hell and back, and our child, he's 5 now, thank God, but he had to get adopted to my family anyway. And we married like a year after our baby was born. I guess I was trying to make up for lost time, but he's a foster baby and we ended up finding his family and then he just ran to LA anyway. He was from San Francisco. So he's still pretty, he's not a good dad.
All right, well, you seem pretty happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just happy he finally divorced me, but my dad had to fake his death in order for him to do it.
Wait, what? Are you stoned right now?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Right. Okay.
I am a little tipsy.
What? Why did your father have to fake
your
ex-husband's death?
He was trying to take all of our money and our power and our fame. He wanted me to like change my last name. He was pretty controlling.
Okay. Well, probably a good thing you got out of it then.
Yeah, we got married in the court of Oakland, California, and I was getting abused, and the social worker got worried and said, please just, you know, we're going to adopt your son to your family over in Santa Rosa area, the North Bay, so.
Okay.
He still talks to my cousin today, and I haven't heard from my son in about 3 years, and I know it's because he's controlling her, but I'm just happy I got divorced. I'm in Washington State now, so.
Okay. You got a lot going on there, man. That is, your brain is a suitcase with a lot of stuff that needs to be unpacked.
How many shoes did you bring? We're only gone for 3 days.
Man, oh, man.
There's a lot more to that. I was like,
there's a ton more, and I don't want to know any of it.
Correct.
That's exactly like, there's a lot going on. Do not tell me anymore.
Big or small, what is something that you've done that you're proud of? 206-803-ROCK.
I know.
Like a distant character.
Oh, my God.
I just murdered someone in the parking lot.
I found it fun.
Hello, Brock. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Hey, I want to apologize. Last time I called, I had a phone malfunction with you guys, so I apologize.
Brock,
thank you for owning up to your mistakes.
That's right. I'm proud of you.
Yes, and then I was wondering, how come you guys haven't brought up the DJ room at the Olaf?
The what?
Oh, yeah. The vagina room?
Yeah.
I've heard something about it. I don't know much about it, but I get the feeling on Monday, after I experience the so-called vagina room, I'll probably have a lot to say.
Here's the skinny on that one. The guy who initially bought it or redid the place is a famous artist.
All right.
He does a lot of eccentric avant-garde art.
Okay.
He's very well known for that. He went in and designed the inside of Olaf's. So when you go into the pinball room, you walk through a giant vagina to get into it.
Okay.
So we'll experience that on Sunday.
It's like Big Shirley all over again.
Yes, exactly. But you are not wrong.
Brock, so what are you proud of?
So I grew up playing sports all the way up through high school and then had kids. They're older now. They're in their 20s. But I got to coach them over the years, both my son and my daughter's teams. And like my daughter's soccer team, I coached her for almost 7 years. It was all rec league stuff, but, you know, it was a lot of fun and I had a good time with it.
Did they have a good time with you as their coach?
Well, yeah, I think she did. She was playing up, so there was an older kid she was playing with, but, I mean, she got to start every game, so, I mean, there's always that part. And actually, we went 17-0 one year and won the city tournament. And we went into PKs at the last game, and she was the one that scored the last goal. And honestly, that makes me feel better than, like, when the Seahawks won the Super Bowl.
Brother, I get it, man. I watch my kid play all these little sports, and in spite of the fact that it's sixth graders, you know, when you see your kid have that moment, I mean, it's hard to explain. Even though you have nothing to do with it.
Right. Here's a sad one for you. Okay, I'll come on.
Cool, Miles. It's been a positive show.
No, I'm proud.
Here's something
sad. I'm proud. I'm just being honest, all right?
But you're proud of this.
We're in the tree. No, I'm proud. Okay. I was proud of my daughters when they graduated.
Yeah, of course.
When they graduated high school, I was extremely proud. They graduated with honors. They were straight-A students in the Honor Society, all that.
That's something to be proud of.
It was. Like, they got the special scarves that the smart people wear, stuff that I had no idea existed in my life. I had no idea. Like, they sat in the front.
You mean, like, around their gowns?
Yes, and, like, graduation. Different color satchels.
None of us had any interaction.
My daughter graduated from San Diego State, same thing, in this huge arena. They bring her up there. She's one of the few people who's got, like, a special sash on, you know, that makes her look like she's more important in the church or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, big time stuff. And my daughter, unfortunately, my older daughter, I did not get to see graduate because of COVID. They didn't have a ceremony.
Oh, God, I remember that now, yeah.
But more so than anything, as a father, my proudest moment was watching them graduate kindergarten. I don't know why. I don't know what it was. It was the fact that I thought, okay, well, you're finally just going to school for the day, number one. So you're not going to be at home most of the day, half the day, whatever. It was almost like I got a slight bit of freedom, but the look of happiness on my kids, when they got their diploma, they smiled, they shook their hand, and they walked off the stage.
Right.
When my kids graduated kindergarten, they were jumping up and down with their diploma. They ran down the steps. They came down. They hugged my leg. It was awesome. You know, it was a different level of excitement. And, man, I was proud.
No, you're right. My wife and my daughter.
I'm sorry to say it, but that's just the truth.
My daughter, it's my first foray into all of this.
I was almost in tears.
The school has a kindergarten graduation. And you know me. I'm like, after they have a kindergarten, oh, congratulations, you stopped eating soap. I mean, like, this guy on the blah, blah, blah. She's like, look, you got to go. I'm like, I do not want to go to this. This is so stupid. It's meaningless. Fast forward. Obviously, I'm sitting there. Same thing. Mm-hmm. This is awesome. Yeah.
I had a hard time with that.
But it's for the same reason. Yeah. Your kid is so freaking jacked to go to first grade,
man.
Oh, man.
They are fired
up. And I remember graduating from kindergarten. It was like a fun day.
But as a parent, I was proud. I was like, man, this is... Like this, I'm finally watching my kid like achieve something, and they are really, really fired up.
And they're not embarrassed about coming over here and getting affection from me.
No. And I told my daughter even at the time, I was like, look, be happy right now because you're not going to get another diploma for 13 more years. So, you know, cherish this moment.
Right.
Big or small, when it's something that you've done that you're proud of. 206-803.
It's a little aggressive.
But I just
enjoy this.
Honest.
You got 12 more years before you're going to have anything like this.
13 more years, but it's even going to happen again. And I won't care then.
Neither will you.
It's a kindergartner. They have the attention span of a gnat.
I know.
Oh, they forgot as soon as you told them.
God, I love that day.
Hello, Ben. Welcome to the men's room. Hello, Ben.
And goodbye.
Ben. God, sounds like
something. There's somebody's there.
We'll get back.
He just can't hear us.
In the meantime, hello, Mo. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola. So what are you proud of, Mo?
So I was in the U.S. Navy, and I'm proud of I jumped off the ship at 0 degrees longitude and 0 degrees latitude.
That's kind of cool, man. So just where you are on the planet. How many people do you think have done that?
Probably maybe 500. I don't know.
Is it kind of a Navy tradition if you happen to hit that point? Hey, man, jump off the boat.
Well, we were doing a shellback ceremony, and then they had open swim. So they're like, hey, if you guys want to swim, go ahead, jump off.
Do you have any idea where that's located? Like what? Just a general area? Is that even, can you even pinpoint it?
So it was the time date line right before we get to Hawaii.
Okay. All right.
I'd be happy to jump in the water there.
Let me ask you, like, I've swam in, like, open water in the Sound and the ocean. Like, when you're that deep in the ocean, like, Is it scarier? Like, you worried about sharks or anything?
Bro, let me tell you about scared. I'm a black man.
In the middle of the ocean.
All right, I get why you're so proud.
Tell that at every family reunion.
Right. Oh, that boy just jumped off that boat in the middle of the ocean.
He can swim.
Yeah, so when I hit the water, when I hit the water...
Sorry, that's just a good line. Like, was it scary? You got it right.
So when I hit the water, I open my eyes, I look up, and I'm about 50 feet down.
Jesus Christ, man. How high up was the boat?
What kind of boat did you jump off?
I jumped off a frigate, but it was the second deck of the frigate. So it was probably 50 feet up.
Jeez. See, that would be a last. Yeah, I don't. No, thank you. I've jumped off. I can jump into water, but it's still pretty high, man.
You know, black man, what was going through your mind before you jumped off? Because, brother, I'd still be standing there.
I'm thinking about sharks, to be honest with you. Like, I'm not going to be the first one.
You want the honest truth?
Yeah.
I said, man, these crazy white people got me doing this.
That's what I expected to hear.
You're not wrong.
This is not a black activity.
Right, we did not grow up doing these types of things.
I mean, Next up, Everest.
You know, I'm always going to have the story like a lot of people say, hey, man, and I was the first in my family to graduate college. And the black family, like, I was the first to learn to swim. They're like, oh, Lord, look at that.
I will say, growing up where I grew up, I heard that line a lot. Just like I had one buddy that like he would be like sitting there like, why am I shotgunning beer? Like, white boys got me doing all this crazy stuff. But I also went to a lot of parties where I was the white guy. But I couldn't be like, man, you brothers got me twisted.
Why is a 40 taped to my hand? No white people do that. Big or small, what is something that you've done that you're proud of? 206-803-ROCK.
Right, put out the blunt. Try a dip.
Hello, Rebus. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, guys.
Hola.
Let's see here. Hold on a second. So I think I'm most proud of the fact that maybe in January, I couldn't even walk. Huh? I seriously got messed up because I have been on blood pressure lowering medication for 20 years. And Jesus. Like a normal person, their blood pressure is usually about 120 over 80.
Yeah.
I ended up having to go into the hospital multiple times, four times that month, because of the fact that mine was like 60 over 37.
Wow, four times in a month?
That's low blood pressure, right?
Yeah, to the point where like I would stand up and pass out and you know, put my teeth through my forearm and, you know, smack my head on the floor and stuff. And
60 over 37? Jesus.
Yeah, so you have no metabolism. You could eat like 1,000 calories a day. That's it.
Probably, yeah, but it was so low that when they checked me at my doctor's appointment, they immediately wanted me in an ambulance on the way to the hospital, and so it took weeks for them to be able to get my blood pressure back up to the point where I could walk around, and now I'm back to work. I'm actually one of those bus drivers, Miles, and
that's probably why you couldn't see that branch, because your blood sugar or blood pressure was so low that you didn't realize you're running over a tree.
You know, and I drive the elderly around in their wheelchairs and get them up to their front door. So there's certain things that we, you know, can't do, like
drop Miles
them off on a corner.
Damn, sure, no, Miles sure. wants you to drop them off on the corner in the rain, wheelchair not.
Haven't you ever seen the metro buses? Ramp comes down, wheelchair goes off. Yep. Okay, so was this something that your body was doing to you, or was there any way that you were responsible for what was happening to your body?
Yeah, I thought you might ask that question. so I was on this blood pressure medication. I've never had high blood pressure in my life, but my mom has it, and so they just put me on this 20 years ago as like a precautionary thing. Well, it eventually just bottomed out to the point where doctors couldn't even stand or couldn't even understand how I could stand up.
Okay.
As you know, let alone like walk around, which sometimes I couldn't. I mean, like in January, I was using a cane or a walker, or I was in a wheelchair, you know, and now I'm loading people on buses and driving around feeling fine. But the problem was that because my blood pressure was so low, at one point I kind of OD'd on Viagra. it blew my blood pressure up, and I had a heart attack.
Jesus, man.
Were you taking the Viagra to...
business or pleasure?
Yeah, to increase blood flow or just because you had a date?
It was because it was the day before Valentine's Day. I'm diabetic, and so there are certain plumbing problems that happen to people that are diabetic sometimes. And it was the day before Valentine's Day, and I had just started dating. And so I thought, well, let's see if I can get things going again.
Yeah.
And,
all right. Was she there during the heart attack?
She was not. She showed up the next night and took care of me that weekend.
Did she, like, take care of you, or just medically take care of you?
Both.
All right.
Okay. Did you, when you're having a heart attack, like, are you aware? Like, did you call the ambulance yourself?
No. I was driving passengers home, and I had an 84-year-old tiny little Asian man on my bus that had dementia, and he decided that he wasn't getting off the bus because he thought I was dropping him off at just somebody's house as opposed to his house. He jumped up and he punched me in the jaw. He headbutted me in the eye socket and hammer-fisted me in the groin as I was holding him up by his belt loop so he didn't fall down, because normally you would use a walker. And I was, I was being polite to the guy, and he's just beating the crap out of me as I was telling him, sir, I'm just trying to get you into your house and safely to the couch. And he's swearing and throwing elbows and stuff. And somewhere in there, the doctors told me I had a heart attack, but I didn't even know about it for another 4 days.
Yeah, just like that branch you hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, one more random question. Was she coming over that night? Like, I thought the whole thing, one of the great things about Viagra is, like, day. 30 minutes beforehand.
Yeah, no, I was just trying to make sure the pipes were working.
All right, but, so you want to get
your... Oh, okay, test run.
All right, so you're going in the batting cage before the actual
game. It was prep work.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah,
did you get an erection at least?
I did not. And that's where the OD part came in, was that I've only ever admitted to taking two of them. It was actually seven.
You took seven Viagra.
Were you taking them one at a time, waiting for any one of them to work?
Yes, that was it. It was like a slow, okay, well, that didn't work. Let's try another one half an hour later. Let's try another one half an hour later.
What was the milligram on this stuff?
100.
I think that's the strongest one you can get.
Yeah.
It is.
And you still didn't get an erection.
I still did not.
Did you?
Laughing at you. I'm laughing at the fact you took seven of those bad boys.
Did you get an erection the next day?
I admit I should be dead.
Did you get an erection the next day for Valentine's Day?
I did not.
What?
But at that point, it didn't matter anymore. Things work out between her and me.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, I mean, look, if I almost died, I wouldn't care that I couldn't get an erection on Valentine's
Day. All right, Rebus, now that you've got everything managed and under control, if you took a Viagra, would it work for you, do you think, now?
Probably not, but there are certain silicone rings that help out quite a bit.
And the disposable ones, some of them even vibrate.
Ted Johnson out of nowhere. Oh, yeah. Sound like the Kool-Aid man.
You can take the wood that you knocked off my tree in my front yard and take that home. How about that?
There you go. Strap that. Damn, Ted. Oh, yeah. I mean, that was true enthusiasm.
They're great.
You sound like a man who's watched his favorite team score a touchdown.
Right. Awesome. Ted versus the FCC is coming up, and we've got your emails on the way next from the men's room at KISW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.